You're now in the huddle with Coach Calls Timeout, the podcast that dissects the mind of a different basketball coach every episode. We uncover what makes them successful and how their story translates to your coaching journey. Let's unlock your team's potential together. This is episode 12 of the Coach Calls Timeout podcast. Dan Jonker here. I want to tell you about Coach Calls Timeout. It's a basketball coaching resource started by myself and my two brothers, Brian and Brady. We're looking to help basketball coaches gain experience and knowledge without even being in the gym. Our website has plays, drills, articles, this podcast, and a coaching forum where you can connect with coaches and share experiences. Go to coachcallstimeout.com, surf around, and check it out. As a listener to this podcast, you can now receive a free 7-day trial to sample our membership area. To take advantage of the free trial, just go to coachcallstimeout.com, click join now, and use the coupon code podcast. You can also sign up for our newsletter and receive 2 free plays to sample. Today's episode is the 5th installment of the 7-part series we call the Basketball Coaching Roadmap, where we explore the 7 areas where all successful coaches shine. If you haven't listened to the previous episodes, I encourage you to go back and check them out. Even coaches need to train, and now that we're in the basketball offseason, you can treat this 7-part series like your own personal offseason coaching course. Our goal is to add a little bit more to your coaching portfolio with each episode, and by next season, you'll be ready to shine. Our basketball coaching roadmap constantly emphasizes the importance of building relationships with your players. That's what makes this episode's topic so important. My brothers Brian and Brady and I have a phone conversation to talk about honesty. Brian shares 2 of the most difficult and honest conversations he's had with his players. Enough from me, let's get right to it. Today's topic on the basketball coaching roadmap is honesty. I have my brothers Brian and Brady on the phone to discuss one of the more challenging aspects of coaching. For most people, it's easier to tell people what they want to hear as opposed to what they need to hear. And we talk a lot about the importance of building relationships when you're a coach. Brian, let's get right into it. Let's talk about a dreaded area for most coaches, making cuts. This usually leads to awkward, uncomfortable conversations. How do you handle making cuts?
Well, it depends on the age group. For my men, I mean, I could get upwards of 60 people at an open tryout, but I'll already have, you know, anywhere from 10 to 12 of my players already selected as recruits before the season even tryouts even begin. So there might only be a couple available spots for walk-ons, and there could be 50 or 60 people trying out. And we get varying degrees of talent out at these tryouts. So quite literally, it's easy to cut 40 or 50 guys within an hour of seeing them. So in those cases, we typically do the old read a list of who we want back. And within a day, we cut it down to, 20 total, including our recruits. We'll bring those guys, or our team, we'll bring those guys into play with the last 6 or 7 guys, maybe over a day or two, and then get down to the number that we're wishing to. But when we get down to smaller numbers, then I won't do the list thing. I'll actually pull a guy aside and tell them why they're being cut, and you know, typically that leads to questions from the individual about, you know, well, what can I do? Can I have another chance? All those types of things. And at those stages, that's where the biggest amount of honesty comes in. You know, you're typically not going to spend time with your walk-on guys to give them extra chances when really all you're looking for is 1 or 2 guys that are going to come in and work really hard every day and try and fill out a roster and make other guys around them better. So you just got to be honest and say, hey, but here's why, and let it go that way. I've had a couple of times, 3 or 4 times in my 12 years of college coaching where I've actually cut individuals who have played the season before for me. And those are the most difficult ones because you've built relationships with those kids. And over the course of an entire year, you've gotten to know them and their families, and so to have reasons for why you think it's best to go in a different direction, I think you owe it to those individuals to be honest with them and to also tell them face to face. So I've done that two or three different times, and that's very difficult. On the other end of the spectrum with, say, our under 13 girls last year, we've been with this group now for 4 years. So we had them when they were under nine. The organization that we're with, and I think a lot of other organizations now with very young kids, suggest that you have the form letter that says they either made it or they didn't make it, and you give it to them in an envelope with their parents, and they're not to open it till they get in the car or get home. And so then it's kind of left up to the parents to explain to a young child why they did or didn't make a team. And I think that's, you know, I guess that's universally held as an easier way to have the parents maybe tell the coach, or then the coach, who the kids maybe don't know very well at all. As they've gotten older this year, I thought, oh, well, I can do the face-to-face thing with the last couple, two or three kids that we had. And I found out real quickly that even though they were in grade eight, they maybe weren't prepared for this yet. So the first girl I took aside and told, I mean, immediately broke into tears and started sobbing uncontrollably. And it was really uncomfortable, and to the point where her mom came, you know, over and, you know, was involved, and we got talking, and then the kid stepped away a little bit, and I said to the mom, I apologize, you know, that we used to do letters, and I thought maybe they were old enough, and she actually looked at me and said, no, I think you should have stuck with the letter. I don't know when the right age is to face-to-face tell somebody why they weren't good enough to make a team. You know, I've done it in all varying fashions, but I think when the time and the age is right, I think face-to-face is always the way you should be handling your final cuts. You know, lists in the early going or calling out names, letters to young kids, I guess, are ways that all can be used. But face-to-face, whenever possible, I think you owe the individuals that, and you should be honest with them when you're talking to them. That's a long answer to your question.
So what's actually in the letters? Like, what do the letters say?
They're very much...
is it a handwritten note from you, or is it just...
No, it's very much a generic organizational letter, and they're all the same. So they say, you know, we really appreciate, thank you for trying out. Unfortunately, your child did not make the team, you know, come out to the house league, continue to improve, and maybe again next year. They're very generic. I suppose, you know, maybe if you really wanted to as a coach, you could write those out yourself and make them more personal. But in a lot of cases at those young ages, you don't get a chance to know any of those kids. You know, you might have seen them for two practices. So it's hard to get to know people well enough to write anything but that form letter that the organization writes for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty awkward.
So in our article on the website about honesty, we have three ways to help develop an honest relationship with your players. The first one is to know yourself and your team philosophy and actually take some time, write down your strengths as a coach, what you want your team philosophy to be, whether it's always working hard, positive energy, individual development, whatever. And to maximize team success, your strengths have to align with your team philosophy. And you have to be honest with your approach so that you're matching that philosophy. Is this something that you do with your teams?
Yeah, you've got to make an effort to have an understanding of what the group's going to be and to be able to honestly assess where you think you can be and the type of personnel that you have. And you need to be able to honestly communicate what the requirements are or the expectations are for your coaches so that all of you can be honest with the kids. If you can't be honest with you know, at the coaching level and with ourselves, it becomes even more difficult to be honest with the players.
So the second item that we have in the article is your actions must match your words. This one's pretty obvious. If you're communicating with honesty and your actions consistently match your words, we talked about this in the last podcast episode, it's more likely your players will trust you. If you're consistently giving the same message throughout the season, your words carry more weight, and your team functions more cohesively, and they trust you a lot more. I'm not sure if we need to expand on that or if you want to, Brad, or Brady.
No, I think you're, I mean, I think we touched on a lot of that in consistency last week. I think it's important, obviously, like you said, to be consistent with the message, and therefore you're being honest. If you're not doing that, they're going to see through it.
And the last item that we have is welcome feedback. I think this is the most critical aspect of coaching. You have to be open to hearing feedback from your players and from your assistant coaches. And you need to establish a culture where players feel comfortable opening up and being honest with you. It's not just a one-way street where you get to dictate everything to them. You need to see things through their eyes, and it will make you a better coach. I've witnessed coaches where it's pretty obvious that they are not receptive to feedback. And you can see it in the players. They want to say something, but they know that they're not supposed to, or it's going to fall on deaf ears. It makes it harder to be a player knowing that you're just supposed to do whatever this person says and you have no input into what's actually happening, even though you're the one doing everything on the court. Is there anything that you do with your players to ensure that they have input into what's going on?
Well, I mean, the surest way to promote that is to find a suggestion that's offered that you can actually implement, so they realize that, you know, you're not just asking for feedback but not really listening. I mean, you're actually willing to do something that they're hoping or that they've suggested. That's the surest way. But the reality is, if you're not, again, building the relationships with the guys, they're not going to realize that they can trust you anyway. So it becomes about trust, and if you have that relationship and they trust you, then they're going to be honest with you. And if they're going to be honest with you, then there's more possibility for that two-way communication and the potential for them to be more open and offer more suggestion, and for you to be willing to listen and to take that under advisement.
So coaching is, you're basically a teacher and a parent to your players. And you have to focus on developing and nurturing those relationships in terms of feedback. So we have an interesting dynamic as three brothers. We have a huge age gap between basically all three of us. Brady is 22 years younger than Brian, and I'm 8 years younger than Brian. Same parents, same marriages, everything. So obviously Brady was a mistake, but that's okay. And and there's another...
Mom and dad claim he wasn't.
No, dad claims I am.
That's okay. You're still special, Brady. So we also have a dynamic of, Bri, you were the coach of Brady at Mohawk, and you had an interesting second year, Brady, where Brian had to cut you or tell you that he may be cutting you. So in terms of feedback, Brady, let's flip it on to Brian. What kind of feedback do you have for Brian regarding that experience?
Before he tells you whatever he's going to tell you, I didn't cut him. So go ahead, Brady.
He didn't cut
so
me.
So Brady did play.
Brady
did play for me for a season. He played for me for 1 year, which would probably be difficult in its own right, because obviously it's my brother, right? So there's nepotism and you know, whatever else, and that, you know, he worked hard that year and he played for me for that season. So now I'll let Brady tell you why he didn't play the second season, which happened to be the year we won the national championship.
Yeah. So I, you know, I had a rough freshman year, the freshman 15 times two, gained a little bit of weight, and Brian told me I had to, lose about 30 pounds going into the summer, which wasn't unrealistic. I took it a bit the opposite way and put on another 20 or 30 pounds. So I put myself in a position where really, I mean, I wasn't going to come out and try out for the team. I obviously wasn't in any position to do so. You know, I decided to focus on school, but, you know, I do regret it a little bit, obviously missing out on a national championship. And I did feel like I was starting to get improved quite a bit throughout the year. And I think I had a good summer that when I was out playing with the guys, but obviously I didn't take it serious enough to get into shape. You know, he was honest with me, and I appreciated that. And it just got to a point too where, you know, I was honest with Brian too. I sat down and talked to him, because not only at the time was I playing for him, I was working for him at the same time. And I was 18, and, you know, I thought I knew everything. But there's also a time where, you know, I felt like I needed to be brothers with Brian versus being, you know, more that coach, boss, dad type relationship, obviously with the age gap and me just going to college and, again, being 18 years old. You know, since I stopped working for him and playing for him, I think the relationship's been a lot better, and I don't have any regrets in that sense. Obviously, the only regret I have is missing out on a national championship, but obviously I wouldn't trade that for what I have now. So I'm pretty happy with it. And you know, the feedback he gave me was honest, and it wasn't wrong, and I appreciated that, and I should have took the advice and ran with it, but I did not.
And I mean, that's a situation where, again, I didn't cut Brady. I just told him honestly what needed to happen for him to be part of the team the next year. I mean, you have to understand too, when you're a coach's kid, or in this case, a brother's kid, coach's brother, you almost have to do twice as much to prove to the people that you're not just getting favoritism, or you're not on the team because you're a brother or the kid. So in this case, it just came to a point where I had to be honest and say, listen, if you're going to be around, this is the way it has to be. And Brady made his own choices and essentially cut himself. So, I regret that he wasn't with us to win the national championship either, but at the same time, I couldn't make him do anything.
It wouldn't be fair to me or him if I showed up way out of shape and made him have to cut me himself. I mean, I'm not a stupid person. I understand how it works. I get it. And, you know, obviously I wasn't the seventh man on the team the first year I played. I was at the back end of the bench, and I was fine with that. I enjoyed it, and it was one of the most fun years I've ever had. I didn't play much, if any, but I had a blast, and, you know, I got along with the guys great, and it was well worth the year for sure.
And when they won the national championship, we got to watch it together at my house on a terrible stream.
That's right.
I think I called back afterwards too and say, Brady, you could have been here.
Yeah.
Brady,
yeah.
You could have been here.
So, Bri, you have in the article on honesty that we have on the website, you had an interesting story that you shared about Pat. Maybe tell that story in closing, and we'll end up this episode.
If you want to wrap up with that, that's probably, I mean, outside of the conversation we just jokingly talked about with Brady here, outside of that, probably the most difficult conversation I've had in 22 years of coaching was with Pat Ivoroni last year, this time last year in August. And, you know, he had started for us over a couple of years where we were ranked nationally in the top 10 for a team that was at one point won in Ontario or in an Ontario final. And then this year he was going to be a fourth year or a senior. And I think his expectation probably was that I'm going to step in and start. You know, we've got four of our starters from our national semifinal team leaving. I've started before. I'm a fourth-year guy. I'm going to start. And I think that's a realistic expectation or thought process from a kid his age in that position. But we felt that we were going to be younger, in a bit of transition. We could use his veteran leadership in other ways, but we thought that we needed to sink or swim a little bit with the mistakes that our young guys were going to make on the floor versus them just getting those reps in practice. So last August, I had a difficult conversation with him where I said, hey, here's what we're thinking. We're going to play these young guys. Some nights you're not going to play a lot. There might be other nights where you play lots. And, you know, on the nights you don't play much, I might not even have a reason why. And I think that would have been really difficult to hear if you're a guy like Pat. But I had that conversation with him in August so that if he thought about it for a month and gave him an opportunity to decide if that was a role he was willing to accept. And much like I told Brady what the ramifications were if he didn't do certain things, I gave him time to think about it as well. In Pat's case, he came back and said, no, I'm willing to accept that role and let's go forward and see what happens. As it turned out, we ended up in a provincial final and at the national championships again, with a group that we didn't necessarily expect to do that with. And Pat's leadership and his acceptance of that role throughout the season as our sixth man was vital in our season and the success that we had. So that was a difficult, honest conversation I had with him. And as a mature player, I'm sure it wasn't what he wanted to hear, but he handled it extremely well. So, I mean, I could have avoided that conversation, and then that would have just made things uglier throughout the year when we were maybe not playing him much. Those things would have been much more difficult. But there was no point in the season where, regardless of how much he played or didn't play, could he come to me and say why or what's going on, because we had already had that big conversation back before the season started. So, you know, if we want to end this episode on that note, I think that's a very good example of where honesty was extremely beneficial to our relationship and to the progress of our team.
There you have it. Obviously, honesty is the cornerstone of any relationship. If you can't be honest with your players, whether you're discussing their role or their development, then you'll never earn your players' trust, and your teams will never reach their true potential. An honest approach will definitely lead to difficult conversations. There's no doubt about that. But the outcome will far outweigh those difficult moments. You owe it to yourself and your players to be honest. This episode was brought to you by Audible, the worldwide leader in audiobooks. As a listener to our podcast, you can go to audibletrial.com/coach to receive a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial with Audible. Choose from a wide variety of books to listen to on the go or while you're relaxing. You can show your support for our podcast by going to audibletrial.com/coach to start your free trial. I'll put a link in the show notes. If you know a coach, share this episode with them on social media. Just go to coachcallstimeout.com/12, that's the number 12, and click on one of the social media icons. Our next episode is part 6 of the Basketball Coaching Roadmap. We discuss what being an encouraging coach looks like, feels like, and sounds like. Thanks, and we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.